If you didn't know, and you most probably didn't know this, but today we've titled Small Group Sunday. And to let the cat out of the bag, my conclusion is join a small group. If you're in a small group, come on, do better. And if you want to be a small group leader, we need extra small groups leaders. Okay, so that's what's going to happen right near the end, but I'm going to get to that. Although if you've already got the message, then I guess you can go home now. That was the conclusion. Don't sign off online. But so it's Small Group Sunday, and we want to celebrate small groups and encourage people with the power and the potential of what happens in community. So the scripture this morning is Acts 2, verse 42 to 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And so by way of getting you very excited about the prospect of small groups, I've asked a small group leader just to share briefly on his experience of small groups, and then I've asked a small group person, just a regular person like you and I, to share, well, I'm not a small group leader, so I'm just a regular person just like you and I, to share on what it means to be in a small group. So I'm going to ask if Terry will come up first, and then after him, we're going to just ask Gareth to share with us.
Hi, everyone. Brian cannot visit and spend quality time with everyone. What would his wife say if he did? By hosting a home group and hopefully leading one, you'll be visited regularly, every week or maybe every second week, by fellow Christians. Get them to bring the snacks, and you can keep the leftovers. You will get your own support group to share life with and at the same time grow in the knowledge and understanding of God's Word. Every one of you is important to God and this church, so be willing to be a facilitator or home group leader. No matter what your age, you can still grow and do it. So what does a leader involve? And first off, it's not an onerous thing. It's sharing. It's walking together with others. The load is shared. It's not you alone. Yes, you need to plan where and when you're going to meet. For example, our own home group moves to a different home every week. It's also selecting material. And to start off, you can get material where the teaching is provided by somebody else. And there's lots of resources, and we've used them as well from Right Now Media. You can also get help from other groups, and they've suggested good courses that they've experienced. If there's a leader's guide, I tend to share that with everyone. And why? So that they can actually experience leading the group as well, and you're not left that the job is just yours. Yes, you need to persuade people to prepare for the next week, if there is preparation needed, but if they don't do their homework, no penalty. Yes, facilitate questions and discussions. You do not have to have all the answers. I never do. So get people in the group who can investigate for you and come back with the answers the following week. Find a prayer warrior in your group and keep them active in doing the prayers and also in being able to record the prayers and answers to prayers. Be the time watcher, and that's probably the most difficult part. 1 hour more to include time for prayer, the teaching, discussion, and prayer at the end again. And don't forget, time for refreshments, snacks, and general fun and chatter. So have fun events. Those are essential. Together, celebrate as often as possible, whether it's birthdays or achievements of any kind. I've been part of a home group for probably 50-odd years. That's been a major part of my life. That's where I've grown up and still growing. Home group is where I had a lifeline through prayers and support, especially when I could not even pray for myself. Their prayers were needed because of my many mountain bike incidents, medical interventions from a double bypass, stents, 7 fistulas in ANO, a Whipple's procedure, and I was given 3 months to live. That was 17 years ago. So I've kept them on their knees. I'm not sure the members of our home group could actually still get down on their knees to pray. My last word is remember that in the end, you're really doing it for Jesus. Trust him, step up, and be willing to be a group leader. We will always be there whenever you need help. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. On Wednesday night, Pastor Brian asked me to talk about small group, and it's an honor. And it took me a good couple of days to think about what to say. So I'm going to start with this. In my younger years, I wanted to be a world-renowned DJ. That's a disc jockey for those in the know. Things have changed, and 20-odd years later, I still want to be a DJ. Fortunately, now it stands for Disciple of Jesus. Pastor Brian gave me 34 minutes to speak about the small group. 3 to 4 minutes, sorry. Guys, what is a small group? Let's be real. The Bible is an incredible book, full of wisdom, hope, and truth. But it can also be confusing. Yet, in my small group is where I ask questions, have hypotheses, even some words of wisdom, even though those are very few and far between. That's why in Proverbs 27, verse 17, it says, iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. We grow in faith when we study together, ask questions, and help each other understand God's word. Jesus himself had a small group, the disciples. He didn't try to do it alone. Matthew 18, verse 20 reminds us, for where 2 or 3 gather in my name, there I am with them. So if Jesus saw the value in a small group, why shouldn't we? And I can testify to that. Being in my group has changed my life. It happened serendipitously, and I'm grateful for that. Saturday night used to be my favorite night because of the Sharks or the Springboks and Bra. But now it's a Wednesday night. It's my favorite night of the week where we get to interact with like-minded people and my wife. It has opened my heart, my mind, and my soul to something far greater than I could ever have imagined. And as a student of history and historical experiences, this is amazing for me. I have taken to Bible study as a challenge to find answers to questions and understand that the Bible is a book filled with wonder and amazement, and yet changes every time I read a passage over again, or a solution to a situation that I'm going through in my life will just pop up out of nowhere. I hope my passion for Bible studies can be seen by those in my group. I want to thank them personally for allowing me to be a part of it. And sorry if I ramble on a bit too long. Insert wife comment there. Okay, sorry, my wife said I ramble. What do you expect when you go to Bible studies? A deeper understanding of the Bible without needing a theology degree. Real conversation about faith, life, and maybe even whether coffee is biblical, because, you know, Hebrews. People who pray for you encourage you and remind you that you are not alone. So I encourage you to find a small group and be a part of a community of amazing people who explore and deep dive into the Word of God, and you will discover that our God is greater and more powerful than anyone can ever imagine just by studying this great book. A side note, did you know that the Bible is the most highlighted book in the world? It's a little fact. I like to do the crazy things I get. You get to make new friends and understand the Word of God deeper, more easily, and most importantly, grow closer to the Lord our God.
Thanks, Gareth. Thank you. Thanks, you guys. I guess then, if you are wanting a new business venture, sell highlighters to Christians. Okay, so just real quick then, I thought it'd be a good idea to just let the small group leaders who are here this morning just stand up so that we can see who's running a group. Who's a small group leader here this morning? Why don't you guys stand up? Look around. These are some of the people that run groups. Lon and I have, thank you. Yes. Wednesday, Yana. Very good. Thanks. So look around. These are some of the people that are doing groups. Lon and I have both run groups, and now we are in a group. And as Gareth said, it's invaluable. We sometimes, in honesty, sometimes a Wednesday, when we're done with dinner and we're getting ready for small group, sometimes we go, it feels like it's been a whole week already and it's only Wednesday. We don't feel like this. But every single time we come back and we just go, that was it. That was what kept us going throughout the week. So there's been a change, and that's why we're putting a little bit of emphasis on small groups, is that Claire used to run our small groups as the leader of small group leaders, and Anne's taken over. Thank you, Anne. And Anne is in the driving seat. You'll see there's a poster at the back as well of different small groups. So if you're really so inspired today that you're like, woohoo, go to that board or go to Anne and discuss where you can fit in. The topic is the power of small groups, and I think we sometimes think that power is seen best in big things. But in actual fact, as you get smaller in the Christian faith and you get closer, there's power in that. And that's what we want to highlight this morning. I could have titled this The Power of Community, because that's a very, very important part of being a Christian, community. So let's quickly look at that passage from Acts. Acts 2 verse 46 said, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread together in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. So the Christians, the early Christians, the first church was in the temple and was in homes. In the first 25 years, they say that Christianity grew to over 50,000 people. Started at 12? 1, 12, 50,000. Where do you put all of those people? They didn't suddenly create hundreds and hundreds of churches. Many, many people were gathering in homes. In Acts 5, verse 42, a little bit further on in the book of Acts, day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is Messiah. The temple courts and the homes. Over hundreds and hundreds of years, with the establishment of the church and church buildings, sometimes we neglect the power of being in a small group in a home. So what's so powerful about small groups? And you would have already heard some of the things. I heard some important words, leftovers. But what is so powerful about small groups? Well, they're a really powerful way to grow spiritually. This is a good way to grow spiritually, being here on a Sunday morning. But in Acts 2, verse 32 to 43, it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. This was happening in the temple courts, but it was also happening in the homes. Spiritual growth was not only happening in the temple courts. It was happening in the homes. It was happening all over the place. So can you grow spiritually if you're not in a small group? Absolutely you can. But if you're not in a small group, you're not going to meet people like Gareth. And when you meet a person like Gareth, you grow. Just a heads up, not this week, but the week before in our small group, the topic was predestination. Oh, imagine how that went. But anyway, there's a real important lesson that we can learn from team sports. Team sports, we get better at the sport when we play with a team. Teams practice together, they work out strategies together, they work together, and it's the same as what happens in a small group. You get stronger and stronger in a small group. I mean, there's many ways you can grow, many. Christian TV, Right Now Media. Does anybody still have DVDs? I don't know, CDs, tapes. We don't have a CD player anymore. The internet, there's so many places where you can grow as a Christian. But one of the main places is in community. I'm always amazed at people that say, I'm a Christian and I don't need to go to church. You don't need to go to church, absolutely not. But if you really want to experience the benefit of growing with people, Christianity is about community. It's not about an individual journey. It's definitely a team sport. And so in different areas, we grow in small groups. Fellowship and community, we grow in ministry, outreach, and corporate worship. We grow in many areas as we meet in homes. Going to a small group is like going to gym. Don't know if anybody made that New Year's resolution, but as we go to gym, we exercise. The same thing happens in our small group. On a Sunday morning, because we're Presbyterian, many people don't stop the pastor and go, oh, just hold on, back up. That last statement, can you just clarify that? And I know Peter Benson's not here this morning, so I'm quite safe. But in a small group, that's exactly what happens. Whoa, stop. Wait a minute. I'm not getting this. Why do you think Jesus keeps doing this? Why do you think the Bible records this story? Were there other stories like this that we didn't hear about? And so those kind of questions can be looked at and engaged with. It helps us to apply Bible to many different areas of our lives. We don't come away from small group just going, oh, that was fun, let's move on. But often we're challenged. What are you going to do tomorrow? What is the rest of your week going to look like? What are you going to do differently in your family? There's also a lot of power in growing relationships. Small groups are a powerful way to grow relationships. Acts 2, verse 42 to 47a. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. You see how small groups affect so many areas of the early church's life. It wasn't just about having a cup of tea and chatting. It was about more than that. Small groups are about accountability. I can't hold everybody accountable in this church, but your small group, when you share, there's a place where people start a journey with you. And that journey ultimately is about accountability. Not in a bad, tough way, but in a good way. We will support you. We will walk with you. We will journey with you. Encouragement, there's a lot of that in small group. Ministry opportunities, we get to do this together. We get to do life together. And then definitely care. Small groups are a powerful way to grow numerically. That whole piece of scripture ends with Acts 2:47b. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And that scripture is talking about the temple courts, wherever they were preaching, but also it happened in the homes. It's way easier sometimes to get somebody to come to a small group on a Wednesday night than it is for them to get somebody in here on a Sunday morning. But once people experience a Wednesday night or a Thursday or whenever your group meets, then they want to experience more, and the next step is being in church. Can we grow numerically without small groups? Absolutely. Can we grow more effectively if we've got more people in small groups inviting people? Without a doubt. I don't think it's either or. I think it's a both and. Small groups are vital. Service here is vital. So I warned you that I was going to challenge you in this time. So there's these three groups of people here today. Those not in small groups, those in small groups, and those that feel God's calling them to run a small group. Actually, those not in small groups, this is not a feel bad because you're not in a small group. Everybody's at a different life stage in a different place. If you've got young people and you're not in a small group, I've heard people say what they do is they offer to host the group, not to run it necessarily, but to host it. Then the little people go to sleep in their own bed at the normal time. You just say, I'd like to make my home available. But there's a huge benefit for being in a small group, and I wanted to just highlight that this morning. So if you're not in a small group, think about it. Then there's these people that are in a small group. What did I say? I was going to challenge you to, get with the program. Be more active in your group. People in small groups, often there's people in small groups that could lead a group. They've been in a small group for a very long time. They've got the ability, the know-how. So maybe you're going to filter into the group three, but if you're in a small group, make it work, be interacting, grow it, bring people to the small group. And then what about the third group? Those God's calling to facilitate a small group. Somebody at our last small group leaders meeting said, if you want to run a small group, all that you've got to have is a kettle. Really, You just have to have a place, a kettle. You just need to say, hey, come. Right now, media, we use it in our small group. They give you the material to play, and it's not like a million miles. Let me just tell you, our small group video is between 12 and 13 minutes long. So if you're tired on a Wednesday, we don't fall asleep. We don't have enough time, although I can fall asleep quicker than 13 minutes. But and then on Right Now Media, they even give you the leader's guide. You don't even have to think, what questions do I ask? How do I lead people through this? And there's some really great material. So maybe that's what's happening. Maybe God's saying, hey, don't be a sponge, be a sprinkler. So is God calling you to facilitate? Maybe that's you. And then speak again. Speak to Anne. See how we can make that happen. If you want to open your home, speak to Anne. We can find a leader. If you want to lead, do that. If you want to be in a group, ask her, which groups, what will work for me? You saw some of the people standing up. Maybe you're like, hey, I'm going to ask them about their group. Let me go and talk to them this morning. In a small group, everyone supports everyone. Even the facilitator is supported. In conclusion, join, be active, facilitate. Amen.